Welcome back. We are delighted to be with Robert H.G. Monks, whose book Corpocracy is a part of what we are prompted to talk about. We went away talking about Adam Smith, whose big ideas have had a lot of influence in the last couple hundred years, and it is for one very small part of his very large thinking that we remember him.
Well, I think the Smith really had a holistic attitude. And he basically felt that economic activity had to take place within the framework of a society. In which the invisible hand allocated resources and accounted for a change, as it were. The problem is that as we moved through the Nobel process into the efforts of the economic community to claim impartiality because of its being neutral and being scientific, of course, all of these ambiguities had to be shaved off, and the result was that we end up with this very diminished language. Now, in the particular category that I'm terribly interested in, which relates to the importance of trust in American society, and the legal notion of trust is quite simply stated. It is, you appoint me trustee for Paula. I cannot take any step in my own interest that is contrary to Paula's interest. I owe Paula an absolutely overpowering obligation, uniquely and solely, to take care of her affairs when I accept that trust. Now, having said that, is being a trustee cost effective? It hasn't got anything to do with being cost effective. Well, what's happened is that throughout so many of the interstices of our social and political and economic system, trust is such a critical element. So the majority of shares of American companies are owned in trust for 100 million Americans. And yet, the notion of trust has been superseded by an economic notion. And there is a doctrine of law in economics, and there are courts who have said, in a sense, obey the law if it's cost-effective.
That gets us into trouble.
Well, I think it has gotten us into trouble. I think that's one of the severe problems that we have. And my fantasy at the end of the book as to how you could actually do something about this has a hypothetical president of the United States. It could be this one if he'd like to do it. I read in the paper the other day that he's worried about CEO pay, but maybe he'll get to hear in 15 months. But my scene at the end is of the president calling in the people who were responsible for supervising the trustees. So the head of the SEC, the assistant secretary of labor, the head of the Federal Reserve.
SEC being the Securities and Exchange
Commission, and that's for mutual funds. And Assistant Secretary of Labor for pension funds, and the Federal Reserve for bank trusts. And they're all federal, they're all existing laws, you don't need new laws. And in my fantasy, the president says to them, look, the law of this country is that your trustees, you own a controlling interest in the stock of these companies. If they aren't behaving well, it's your fault. And this administration believes that the involvement, informed involvement of owners is in the public good. And I have the Attorney General here just to remind you that this is going to be enforced as the law of the country.
So it's all there.
It's all there, and we had to take it back from where we've slid by having cost-effective economics dominate the very, very necessary soul of trust.
And then you have a second meeting with the Department of Defense.
Yeah, that's right.
And?
And the president. And the head of the GAO,
which is the government
purchasing office,
which is to say that there is then this second function that our political entity could enforce for us. That is, the government of the United States is the biggest customer of anything in the world, and as a customer, back to those shareholders,
exactly.
We could have immense effect.
It seems to me to be worth remembering, and it's a bit rude of me to say that about my own book, but what seems to me to be worthwhile is that you don't need any new laws. You don't need any new bureaucracies. You don't need any new taxes. You simply need to have purposeful direction from the executive branch of government that it is in the public good to have this notion of executive power and the CEO meaningfully accountable to the only element in the corporate constellation who's independent of him, which are the owners. And once you've said that, I think you may have a formula for a very healthy capitalist system.
I want to go back because it may not be obvious to people. You're talking about banks, you're talking about mutual funds, and you're talking about pension funds, all of which have these trustee responsibilities. You know what the number it is, I don't know, but that accounts for a tremendous amount of the investment in stocks and bonds and other types of investments in this country.
It's about two-thirds of the total of the public, the outstanding
stuff. So this is, that two-thirds is should be managed from a fiduciary perspective.
Exactly.
With trust.
And with a long-term viewpoint, because take the pension system. If I'm going to be a good trustee for a pensioner who has 20 more years to work, I'm not doing the job if I just make him money. I have to run the trust property so that he retires into a clean world, into a law-abiding world, into a civil world. And so I have a fiduciary duty that you can describe quite accurately, and that you could use the word sustainable, that he has an obligation to manage the assets of the trust so that they are sustainable.
So what you're saying is, it goes beyond economics narrowly defined, it goes beyond economics even broadly defined, it becomes a matter of exercising that trust responsibility, that fiduciary responsibility, with respect to all the interests that those people have.
Exactly.
And essentially there's, a reasonableness test that should allow people who have this trust responsibility to be able to make those decisions?
I think the only limit on it would be that they can't be forced to do something that is uneconomical for the beneficiaries of the trust. You can't ask someone who owns 1% of the stock of a company to undertake the burden of putting up all the money to change the corporation for the benefit of everybody. You have to have a reasonableness test as to how much they could be asked to do within the scope of the size of their trust and what's in it.
And part of this, I want to go back. You're saying the laws are already there. Part of this is, with your attorney general at the table, is a matter of enforcing existing laws and regulations.
Yeah. Well, let me give you an example. We've had some very bad experiences lately. It's quite rare that you ever could point to a situation and say, the failure of that trustee to vote actually means something, as most votes aren't that close and there aren't that many recorded votes. Well, about 5 years ago, we had the merger of Hewlett-Packard and Compaq. And there, it was down to the last minute. And the SEC ultimately brought an enforcement action that alleged that the management of Hewlett-Packard paid a fee to a trustee for the success of the merger. And they found out that this same trustee, the Deutsche Bank, in a different branch, was voting their stock against the merger. And there was a phone call the day of the vote. And the Deutsche Bank flipped its vote. And that appears to be the margin by which the merger was approved. Now, here was a case, and I've asked the General Accountability Office to investigate why the Department of Labor hasn't investigated it, which they haven't. There's no answer. Their comment is we don't comment on things that are under investigation. And so
Joseph Heller's alive and well.
So you have a terrible problem here, that if you have a government that is determined not to enforce the law, you can ultimately destroy the meaning of trust.
And then there's the added problem, if you will, here, that when that government says we're going to rely on self-monitoring, self-censorship, that those people in business will watch their own behaviors and will adjust them appropriately, that's sort of the fox in the hen house problem, isn't it?
It summons to memory a wonderful image of Eliot Spitzer, now governor of New York, appearing before the Senate Banking Committee and saying self-regulation doesn't work in the financial business, period. And you have to say that he had fair amount of experience in that area.
This is Robert A.G. Monks. The three of us will be back shortly. We'll hope that you will make it four.